Welcome to the ProWrestling.net podcast for Monday, November 23rd, 2015. I am Jason Powell. My pleasure to be joined today by former TNA champion Ethan Carter III. You can find him on TNA Impact Wrestling on Destination America on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, with the continuation of the TNA World Title Series. Ethan, I mentioned that Wednesday show is on Destination America, but my first couple questions for you are related to the good news that TNA is moving to Pop TV in January. Got to start with, how nervous were you about the future of the company? And I guess just your overall thoughts on the announcement that TNA will continue to have a television presence in the United States.
Well, first off, I'd just like to address how painful and gut-wrenching it is when I'm announced as a former World Heavyweight Champion, seeing as I was never truly defeated for my World Heavyweight title. I'm the very first undefeated World Heavyweight Champion in wrestling history. I think that's a moniker I don't like. Regardless, as far as your question, nervous going into the future, I was never nervous. I had full faith in Dixie Carter and the office that things were on the up and up. Great things on the horizon. I never read into any of the negativity that was bestowed upon TNA. I kind of had intel a little bit. You know, I am a Carter. The world needs me, and I'm, you know, part of the family. I knew we'd be great, set. Everything was going to be cool, and I'm very excited about this move over to Pop TV. Tuesdays, January 5th, live, 9 Eastern, 8 Central, on Pop TV. Very excited about it.
And your thoughts on the new time slot? Tuesday was one that I always thought was ideal, just coming on the heels of Monday Night Raw. Not so great if it's a lousy three-hour Raw, but can be a lot of perks there if it's a hot Raw and people are excited about wrestling.
Yeah, I think wrestling's still very much in the psyche of not only the hardcore fans but more casual fans as well on a Tuesday. It should be a great night. Everyone's really meeting that Tuesday night with open arms and very excited about it. Personally, I think it's a great night. I haven't watched anything on Tuesday since Home Improvement was on. Oh, excuse me. Let me correct that. Since Justified was on FX. So it's very cool to be on Tuesday night. You know, great show. And The Shield is good too. That was on Tuesday. And
Sons of Anarchy.
But regardless, Sons of Anarchy. All right. You got me.
So nothing other than FX on Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. Nothing other than FX on Tuesdays. But now, Pop TV. Picking up the torch, moving it forward on Tuesday nights with Impact Wrestling. It's going to be great for us. It's going to be great for wrestling fans.
I do want to jump back to your WWE run briefly. You spent a long period of time in developmental there. You eventually get the call up to the NXT television show, and for maybe listeners who are not long-term fans, NXT certainly was not what it's become today. Did you enjoy that experience on that oddball reality or game show or whatever the hell that was supposed to be?
Well, it's certainly what it is today. It was kind of, you know, the bastard child of broadcasting there. But did I enjoy it? Absolutely. I got to travel on the road to WWE. It wasn't what it was. It wasn't being built up as anything. It was kind of a weird offshoot of whatever we did. But, I mean, for experience, life experience, and experience in wrestling, I couldn't have been any better. You know, I was in front of a live crowd in arenas every Tuesday, you know, doing pre-tapes, vignettes, promos, working matches with guys on the main roster. It was a great learning tool. Seeing as how it's changed and it's become its own entity and, you know, very much accepted as a great product, which it is, you know, I'm not going to say I'm jealous of what they have. I'm very happy for the future talent to have such a great place to hone their skills, but you know, it's definitely different, and I wouldn't change it for the world, really.
The Derek Bateman character, I mean, it was very comedic. I didn't get to see a lot of your developmental territory work. Did the comedy, was that something you were doing going into the show, or was that just kind of what the character became because of NXT?
You know, the way I looked at it, there wasn't really clear character definitions when I was on NXT. It was really, you know, we're throwing you out there, do what you got to do. And I looked at it, you know, being kind of a no, you know, I had no name, kind of a babyface character. You know, I just had to be different outside the box. So I thought by being entertaining some comedy things, that would be something to, you know, set me apart from everybody else on the show, which it definitely did. I mean, the stuff I did with Daniel Bryan was great entertainment, and then, you know, the matches followed were great as well. I think it was just the thing about doing comedy and wrestling, you can very easily pull yourself as a comedy character, which was never my intention. It's not who I am. I like to entertain because this business is entertainment. And I think it's, you do the comedy too much, you know, like I said, it pigeonholes you. So I didn't anticipate that because I could do, as I'm showing now, far more than haha comedy. But at the time, it seemed be different, be outside the box, make a name for yourself any way you can by being different. So that was the mindset, really.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you about being pigeonholed. I mean, is that what you feel happened? I know there was a little bit of heelish, kind of a heel run there, but it just, did you feel like in the eyes of certain people in that company, that was just a character you couldn't break away from?
Yeah, I think because there's so much attention paid to so many different things that it's very easy to be stereotyped, especially there as one thing, just by doing one thing once, you know. So if you have a double date with the Bellas and it's funny and like, wow, that's pretty cool, you know, he's great for comedy, cool, now I know, you know, and it's hard to like make that change when there's so much else going on that so many people in power have to worry about that they can't always focus their attention, maybe they should, but they couldn't, on, you know, that aspect. So it's very easy to be pigeonholed and stereotyped, but you know, it's a responsibility of the talent really to break out of it any way they can. And maybe I didn't do a good enough job of showing what I truly can do. Maybe the opportunity didn't happen. It doesn't matter now because I was trained, coached, and educated for what was to come in this run here in Impact in TNA.
Yeah, and WWE's lost clearly TNA's game. They let you go in May. You debut for TNA in August of 2013, I believe. And so you were not a free agent very long at all. Did you have a fallback plan in place when you were with WWE where maybe you kind of sensed the writing was on the wall? Or did you go through, you know, even during that brief time, a period of uncertainty when it came to what was next in your pro wrestling career?
You know, there's always uncertainty, you know, even when you're gainfully employed by a company, especially in wrestling because it's so fickle. Anything can happen in an instant. Seeing the writing on the wall, it was pretty obvious. I've been in the business. I know the business. I'm not an idiot. And I did everything I could to maybe be different, but it wasn't for me there. You know, right place, wrong time. Wrong place, right time. TNA became the right place at the right time for me. Going into it, I guess I could say I was always looking at my options elsewhere just in case anything ever happened. And, what happened happened, and I knew I kind of had this maybe as an option, but I was also very fortunate with who they brought in. You know, John Gabor came over from WWE. He was a guy sitting in the truck watching everything, so he had to watch NXT. He had to see something in me, and you know, he's the one that came over, signed me, presented me with the opportunity to do this, and you know, he gave me the ball, and hopefully I ran with it for him.
Well, take me through the evolution of the EC3 persona. I'm curious, who came up with this? Did you have input? Were you worried that when you went to TNA that you'd still be pigeonholed?
I wasn't worried just because they presented me with the idea for the character. And like I said, you know, I've been in the business for a little bit with developmental. A lot of times when an idea is presented to you, you kind of cringe your teeth and you kind of like, you shake your head like, oh, that sounds good. When, you know, deep down inside, you're like, I don't think that's a good idea at all. But you'll take anything you can get. When I got the word, the character they were kind of presenting, I knew that was something I could run with right off the bat. And as far as was I worried I was going to be pigeonholed? No, because I thought it was too strong of an idea that they would pigeonhole it anyway. I think, if you gave any other talent that character, it could be perceived many different ways, but kind of the mentality I had with Jared Maven was stand out, be different, be entertaining. I took that, but just less with the ha-ha and more with the presenting of a spoiled, narcissistic, rich kid, you know? So lessons were learned and made adjustments, and I think it's been great because they've been allowed the character to develop, which is hard to do sometimes elsewhere. Like, this character was allowed to develop over time with the right opponents slowly and, you know, eventually ingrain itself as a top attraction with the company.
You've done a lot in TNA. I mean, you've worked with a number of people, a number of legends, but I think my favorite program has been your feud with Rockstar Spud. How much did you know about Spud before you guys were paired? And did you think at the time that the two of you would be able to eventually do really good business together as bitter rivals?
I knew Rockstar Spud only from watching him on TNA before I met him and hating his guts. Just thinking he was the worst character I've ever seen. He annoyed me. Then I was like, well, no, he went out there and he did his job. He annoyed me. So when I met him, you know, it was pretty much, we're very similar in a lot of ways. I mean, I'm taller, more muscular, more attractive. But besides that, the way we look at the business, it's very similar. And when we were paired together, I think the idea kind of was EC3 wouldn't like Rockstar Spud, but in my mind, I thought there would be more fan angst if we were a cohesive unit that were best friends, because I've noticed wrestling fans hate when people are best friends. So I thought, you know, an over-the-top friendship, you know, was a better way to approach that relationship, and I think that's really what made the eventual rivalry that much better, is because there was real emotion and friendship in it. And then when we take it to the next level, you know, become opponents against each other. Did I know it was going to be that great a business? Yes, because we took every angle we had very much to heart. We put a lot of thought into it, and we're both very much wired the same for the business, so we understand the end goal, the end game of what we were doing. So I was just very happy that we were able to have the freedom to kind of see it out the way we wanted to see it out, and, you know, the platform to do it in London, in the UK, you know, with him as an underdog babyface. I really enjoyed that too, so I appreciate it. I appreciate that. So I hope I gave you enough background on it.
Well, is that a program? I just see it as something that you guys can continue to go back to over the years if it's not overexposed. Are you very protective of that and making sure that you don't just burn through it now, or do you feel opposite, like get what you can out of it while you can?
I think it's something that you can always revisit, but if it's continually happening, you know, it'll wear thin eventually. So we kind of revisited it a little bit earlier in the year, and it was, you know, the emotions were still there. It was good. You know, it wasn't the same, but it wasn't supposed to be the same. It was kind of just a filler to where we were both going next. But, you know, maybe we're destined to do this dance for the rest of our careers, you know. I think very much so that it's a good thing to have fallback onto it. What I think is important for wrestling fans especially is, like, they're kind of treated like they don't remember things of the past when wrestling fans know more about the past than just about anybody. So whatever we do in the future, we have to remember what happened in the past, you know.
Well,
don't want to forget what we've done.
Right. TNA, they earned a reputation, I'd say, over the years for showcasing former WWE stars ahead of homegrown talent. And I think guys like you and Drew Galloway have kind of changed the perception a bit by showing that you can leave WWE without being that household name type of star and reinvent yourself in TNA. So maybe speak to that. And also, do you, even despite your long history in developmental and even some main roster television, do you consider yourself a homegrown TNA talent?
I definitely consider myself a homegrown TNA talent because, you know, WWE is the system. It's what educated me. It's what taught me. It's what gave me the tools necessary to do the job. But TNA was where I got to perfect my craft. It's where I got to use those tools to their full ability. I think what we're doing now, like, yes, back in the day, maybe it was, you know, more mainstream WWE guys that would come over to TNA and they would kind of be extensions of what they were in WWE.
Right.
But, you know, myself or Drew, you know, we're both two guys who knew exactly what we could do. We know we can be top guys in this business, in any company at any given second. It just didn't happen for us there, so we have that chip on the shoulder, that angst, that desire, that persistence to be at the very top, and we'll do anything to do it. So we're cut from that same mold, and it almost helps us that we weren't household names. You know, there wasn't a sustained amount of run for either of us, because that allows, it's easier to develop yourself differently outside of what people already know. So for me especially, seeing very little TV, I mean, Drew had more TV than I did, but for me especially, if I came over as like a mid-carder who's spent a year on Superstars after kind of an off and on run on Raw, you know, it would have been you know, this guy again, and probably be similar to what I did in WWE, but not having that recognition helped me a lot to create what I am today.
TNA Impact Wrestling, Destination America, Wednesday night, 8 Central, 9 Eastern. The World Title Series continues. Don't forget the switch to Pop TV beginning in January. Ethan, thank you very much for the time.
Hey, my pleasure. Pop for Pop. We'll see you there Tuesday, January 5th.